that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, and when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Let's sing it again as our brother comes this afternoon. I am blessed, Lord, I'm so blessed, and every day that I live, oh, I am blessed, and when I wake up in the morning, and I
praise the Lord. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Thank the Lord for all of his blessings on us. And might be a few in number as usual, but unusual. But good to be here. And appreciate each one that's here. And just continue to remember the ones that are not here. And just thank the Lord for all of his blessings. And thank the Lord that Brother Wade and Sister June are home, and not that they're at home, but they're at home. So, but I'm not going to sing if y'all waiting on me. So, but praise the Lord. And, wish they were here. I know they wish they were here also, but certainly pray for them and thank the Lord for them. And I know the Lord's going to do a mighty work. And, thank the Lord that, has anybody heard, Brother, are they still in, Brother Luis and them, are they still in Houston? Did they get a flight? Has anybody heard yet? They're still in Houston? Okay. Until Friday morning. Oh, wow. You know, I was praying, Brother Luis sent me a message, said they were still in Houston, and I hadn't heard anything else, and, I saw this morning, early this morning, when the FAA had their glitch with their computer system. Everything shut down and no flights going anywhere. And he said they were going to talk to the airline to see about where they were going. And he said, well, we missed our flight. And I got to thinking about it. I was like, well, no, you'll be on the right flight. That wasn't your flight. I know that's the flight you wanted to get on, but that's not your flight. The Lord works everything out. He's in control of everything, so. Kind of what we're going to look at tonight. I know somebody posted one of the scriptures that we're going to look at tonight. And, you know, God has all things in control. And you know what? He ain't worried about nothing. He ain't surprised by nothing. And I'm so glad that I don't have to worry about it because he's got it all in control. Right. Amen. So we just pray for them, and the Lord will bless Brother Luis and Brother Bob and them on the trip. And you know, things hit snags, but you know that just means there's going to be a greater blessing down the road. So I've never seen the devil try to stop something that, you know, that wasn't, God didn't bless. If you try to do something for the work of God, devil's always going to be there to stop it, or he's going to try to stop it. But that's all right. Lord knows what he's doing. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to look into Romans chapter 3, and then we'll look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And good to have Renee and Noel. Boy, you've grown up. You have so much grown up. Wow. It's good to see y'all tonight. Good y'all to be here. And that's Ben and Sharon's girls. Man, I remember when y'all were just that'd be there. But appreciate them being here tonight. So if you have your Bibles, and before we read the scripture tonight, we'll just all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, to gather in your house. And Lord, we're just so thankful for all your blessings on us. And Lord, so many that we've heard about that, Lord, that has where you've come on the scene and touched so many, Lord. And Lord, there's so many more that need a touch from you, Lord. They're sick and afflicted. Lord, ones that are in the hospital with different situations, Lord. But Lord, you're the great physician. And Lord, we thank the Lord for, we thank you for doctors and medicine and all that, but we know that you're the healer. And Lord, we have our confidence in doctors and what they can do, but Lord, we have a greater confidence in you that you can take all those things and complete the healing and just manifest yourself. Lord, we realize it doesn't take doctors, it doesn't take medicine, but sometimes it does, and we appreciate that. It does its job. And so for each one that has a need, Lord, I pray that you just continue to do a work in them and minister to each one that has a need. And Lord, we just pray tonight, Father, that, Lord, the ones that couldn't be here, Lord, you know the different needs. We just pray that you be with them, touch them, Lord, the ones that are watching in. And we just pray that you bless them as they're watching in, Lord. And we're few in number here in this building, Lord, but you said whether two or three are gathered in your name, you'll be there in the midst. And Lord, so we're just here. Lord, we're going to do our job. Lord, we're just going to do what we can, be faithful. And Lord, we're just going to ask you to have the preeminence in this service. Lord, you just come and take each thing that's said and done. Lord, anoint the speaker, anoint the hearer this afternoon, Lord Jesus. Lord, just help us get out of the way, Lord, that you can be lifted up, that we see you in our midst. Father, we commit all things to you. Lord, for the Brother Luis and Brother Bob, the ones that will be traveling, Lord. Lord, just continue to keep your hand upon them. Bless the services. Lord, bless your bride around the world. Commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 3, beginning of verse 9. It says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, but the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ upon all, unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And then chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is on the screen. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not have ye that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, and they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown, in the wilderness. Amen. God bless you tonight. You have your seats. And I titled this, To Know and Not Be Ignorant Of. And I took these two passages of Scripture because Romans 3, he says, and we know that what things soever the law saith, it is to them that are under law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be guilty before God. And then here it says, I would not have you ignorant. And so I've kind of looked at this a little bit at different times, and just, it's interesting when you read the Scripture and when you start to get into the Scripture and how different writers, and mainly this is the Apostle Paul, but you get into some of the things that Apostle John says and Peter says it sometimes, but the way the way it's worded, it always stands out to me a little bit. And so I just want to kind of look at some of this tonight. But when it talks about here in the Scripture, and it gives a lot of places where Paul says, we know. And, you know, sometimes when you look at, you think, really? We know? And it's interesting when you start to read some of the Scriptures that Paul says that we know. And then when you look at some of the Scriptures that, when he says we shouldn't be ignorant of these things, and when you begin to look at some of these, they're quite interesting. And most of the time, people they don't quote all of this Scripture, but they only quote part of this Scripture. And it's Romans 8:28. And Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good. Most people just say all things work together for the good. Well, Paul says, we know this. Who are they called according to his purpose? Because we know this. Why? Because the Spirit that's inside of us is speaking to us and makes it assurance to us. So that's why he says this is assurance to us. That the Spirit is making assurance to us, reveals to this that it all works out. Because that's the way the law of God works. He said it all works out to the good. But 1 Thessalonians, and most of the time, if you ask them, these are the two Scriptures, and if you said, where the Bible says we know, most people quote Romans 8:28, because that's where it says we know. Most people think of that. And if you ask somebody, where does it say we're not supposed to be ignorant of anything? And most of the time, most people will quote 1 Thessalonians 4:13. He said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as other which have no hope. So when Paul looks at this and he's saying, well, these are things that we should know, and these are things that we shouldn't be ignorant of. And so when you begin to look at some of these different Scriptures here where he talks about these things, and, you know, we understand that, and we'll look at some of these Scriptures, but, you know, I always take comfort in this, and always I really like the way that it's written, because, you know, it didn't say that we wouldn't have sorrow. We wouldn't have stress. We wouldn't have problems. But you know what? There's the human condition, the human person, your emotions, you're going to have sorrow. You're going to have pain. You're going to have grief. But he said, don't sorrow like those sorrow. You know, we're only separated from our loved ones for a short period of time. Sometimes it feels like an eternity. But really, when you look at it, you know, we're only separated them for just a short period of time. And when you realize, you know, they've gone on, and, you know, those that have passed on, they're in a better place than we are. Right. You know, you think about, you know, all of the, how wonderful it is to be a passed on and to be in that place. And, you know, they don't have to deal with all the things that we have to. And we're left here. But you know what? It's us that we can have comfort, because we know where they're at. And you know what? It won't be long that we'll be changing this. We'll be leaving this pest house. It'll be a change, because one of these days we're going to meet them. They're going to be coming back to meet us here. And it's not going to be long. And so, you know, we have comfort in that just because they're gone from our sight. But you know what? They're with Jesus. They're in the presence of God now. But you know what? There's coming a time they're going to come back and we're going to have fellowship. And so we know it's not that long, so we don't have to worry, because you know what? There's people that, you know, when they go on, they don't have anything beyond this realm. They don't have anything beyond this life. This is it. When they leave here, there is no peace. This is the best life they're ever going to live. When they leave here, this is the best they've ever had. But thank God there is a way made that for us that have received the eternal life. If when we receive what God has given us, if we receive the grace of God, you know what? We haven't even begun to understand what God has for us. We haven't even begun to scratch the surface of what God has for us, or what lays ahead of us. Because, you know, he said that has not seen or ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. So we don't know how good it's going to be. But it's wonderful, it's glorious. And you know, that's what I'm looking forward to, because I believe it won't be long. Now, here, I just want to, I got a few scriptures here that I put down, and you know, just show you a few of the scriptures, and I just want to read these right quick. But where Paul talks about, and I think we got John also in here, but where he talks about using just the phrase "we know," and for instance, Romans 7:14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Romans 8:22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, "Now as touching things unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." 1 Corinthians 8:4 says, "As concerning therefore the eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is nothing but other, there's none other God but one." And then 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." And 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And then 1 Timothy 8:1 says, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully." And then the Apostle John in 1 John says, 3:14 says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we have loved the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." So just a few scriptures I wanted to read that shows you where he says, we know. And then also, if they'll scroll up, then here's just a few that Paul talks about not being ignorant. And it says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And he says, 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." 2 Corinthians 8:1 says, "But we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." And then 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So I just wanted to read that to you. There's just a few scriptures that I had where Paul was, and the scripture talks about knowing and to not be ignorant of. And so there's, you could spend a lot of time looking at each one of them. But I just wanted to look at a thought tonight and just look at a few things that the prophet had to say. But just to know that, you know, these are things that we know, to know these things and not be ignorant of. And, you know, Peter said, you know, he said, stir up, that he wanted to stir up your pure mind in a way of remembrance of these things. Not that, you know, not that you've heard these things before, but it's good to go back over them and just stir your mind and look at these things and realize who you are. And just take a look at what the scripture has. Now, you know, many times when when you look at the word know, and you know, many times when people say you know, and when you're looking at things, and if you have children, you'll hear that a lot, especially as they get to become teenagers, you know, because they all like to say, I know. And you can tell them one thing and they know. The problem is they don't follow what you tell them, but they know. And they're real quick to say, I know. And you say, don't go outside. Don't do this. Don't make sure you do this. Take that with you. I know. And then you just all of a sudden, they can't find their phone. They can't find their shoes. They can't find their homework. And if you tell them, go put that away, put that up. I know. But they don't. I heard a story that was talking about this mom. She started charging her family $5 every time they had her look for something that was lost. Because she kept trying to tell them all the time about putting away their things and taking care of things. And, you know, she got tired of, you know, trying to instruct them on what to do. And next thing you know, they're coming, Mama, where's my shoes? Mama, where's this? Where's that? So she started charging them $5. After 2 years, she bought her a new car. Why? Because people were telling them, I know. Well, it behooves us not to just be hearers of the word, but it's important to be doers of the word, right? To follow the word, not just to know the word, because you can know the word, but the word, just understanding the word, just having mental knowledge of something doesn't help you. Right. But it's got to be something that takes place on the inside. Right. It's got to be something that we do. And I was thinking, and I believe it was Brother Dale. Many years ago, he preached a message called I Know. And, you know, he started out just real simple saying, I know. And, you know, I know that the Bible is true. I know Jesus loves me. But then, you know what? It just started growing from there. I know. I know as you come up through the stature of a perfect man, I know what the new birth is. And it just becomes, I know what the seals are. And you just begin to climb through the scripture. You start out, I know. You start out just at the bottom. But, you know, as you go, I know. I don't know if anybody else knows that. And you may have confusion about it. But this is something I know. I know. I've walked this. I've experienced this. So this is mine. I've had this experience. I can tell you, I know this. I know this for a fact. And that's one of the times when we go through things and we wonder, well, God's letting us know. You know, many times we struggle with things, with you know, problems and diseases and situations. It's like, well, I don't know if I can make it. It's like, well, I don't see a way out. Well, God wants you to know that there is a way out. The thing is you can't say, well, I don't know. I know. When they say that, when they don't look like there's a way, and say, I don't know, what way should I go? I know the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Right. So when I'm looking for a way that I'm trying to, the problem is sometimes I'm trying to figure it out myself. But the problem is I don't go to the one that's got the answer. Right. So when I try to figure it out myself, I'm lacking because I don't know. But he does. So if I say, well, Lord, I'm just going to wait on you, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So he's the one that has the way. He is the way. He has the answer. So that's what? I'm going to wait on him. Right. So if I just wait on the Lord, I'm just going to ask you. I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm just going to wait on you to give me an answer. Because if I try to, I get frustrated, I get worried, and all these things. But you know, I've not put my trust in you. But if we know that we can just wait on him and put our confidence in him, wait on him, he has the answer. Amen. So he didn't, you know, because many times he didn't say that he was going to, you know, it's not always going to be divine healing. It's not always going to be miracles. But you know what? If you wait on him, because by his stripes, we're already healed. So before I ever got sick, I was already healed. So you know, he was already the healer before I ever got sick. You know, because the devil was already defeated before we ever got started. But we don't see it that way. Because, you know, when you have children, when they're little, then they come to you, you know. I remember when especially Levi, you know, Dad's a fixer. I worked at Chuck E. Cheese, and I worked on machines, and I was a fixer. I got in maintenance, and I was a fixer. Man, I could hang everything from the moon and just whatever. It didn't matter. I could fix it because I was a fixer. Had all the confidence in the world in me. I work on stuff. We got pictures of him. I was working on a vacuum cleaner at the house. He's in there trying to help me. Had a screwdriver. Man, he was going to get in there and work on that thing. But he had confidence in me. Just simple, childlike faith. And you know, that's all it takes. That's all God is looking for. Simple, childlike faith. Just like that. Just that simple. If we can just have that kind of confidence in Him. And here in the scripture, when Paul's speaking here of the scriptures we were reading tonight, and we'll get into even a few more scriptures tonight, but when we begin to look here at the children of Israel and their journey as they were passing through, and all the things that they had to face, when all the things they had went through. This is from the message from that time. And Brother Bram says, "And I was thinking of the assurance of our going over." He said, "And then we noticed that one time God's children were slaves down in Egypt. They throwed them bread, moldy, rotten, whatever it was, they had to eat it. They ravished their girls, they killed their sons, anything they would. And them was the people of God." That's right. "Now, and so they were slaves and they could not help it. But one day coming down out of the wilderness come a prophet with a pillar of fire over him. And he told them the word of God, that there was a land flowing with milk and honey that God had promised Abraham he'd take his children to. And his promise was a vindicated of being of God by the signs and wonders that he did while he was in Egypt. And the people believed this man. And he come out of Egypt, the children of Israel did, and came to the place of Kadesh Barnea," which any scholar knows that Kadesh Barnea one time was the judgment seat of the world. "That's where Israel met her judgment when she failed to believe the sign and they brought back the grapes and things from the land." And he says, "Now remember, nobody had ever been in this land in their group. They'd heard of it. Faith cometh by hearing, and God made the promise." You get it? God made the promise, and here comes Moses, the runaway prophet, in there with vindicated signs and proving that it was God taking them to this land that they'd never seen. What a perfect type of today. None of us has ever been over. Notice, when they come to Kadesh Barnea, the judgment seat, they had a great warrior among them named Joshua, which means Jehovah Savior, Joshua. When he crossed over Jordan into that promised land and he returned back with the evidence that it was a good land, he had grapes, two men packed a bunch. They could taste the heavenly things from over in the promised land, the good land flowing with milk and honey, then come back to prove that the land was truth, that God's word was exactly what Moses had said it was through the inspiration of God. It was there. Then continuing on, scroll up just a little bit. He says, "And they could have their own houses." They could have their own homes, the occupants. Of course, they had to fight every inch of the road they took. God told Joshua 1, that everywhere the soles of your feet sits, that's possession. That's the way it is today. Everywhere the soles of your feet sit, it's possession. Just keep walking. Footprints means possession. Just take it. And remember, they had to fight every inch of the way. Some people can just take the two-handed sword and fight just a little bit of shadow away. Some can cut through to divine healing, every promise of God with it. That's right. The word is a sword that takes faith to yield that sword. That's right, faith in the promised word. Now, we notice that when they come back and they said that they could have their homes and so forth, Israel crossed over into the promised land, built homes, raised children, lived in peace, and all the rest of the nations respected them. What a wonderful thing. So when we talk about the children of Israel and their journey, you know, when God told Abraham that he said, you know, your descendants are going to sojourn in a strange land. You have all this that you're going to have to go through, but I've got a place for you. We're going on a journey. And when the scriptures that we were reading that Paul's talking about, you know, when he began to look at the journey that the children of Israel had been on and the promise that was made, the promise was made long before some of those children never were born, didn't even ever see Abraham, didn't know anything about them except what they were being told. But they told him there was a land that he had been promised that their forefather had walked. His feet, Abraham's footprints were laid in Canaan. And he said, you know what? He promised that to us. That was my promise. That was somebody else's promise. That was my promise. He promised it to me. But the problem was, he said they stuck down there and they got stuck in Egypt. And as they said in Egypt, then their mindset was just Egypt. All they saw was Egypt. All they looked, as Brother Brown talked about, they were down there, and all they were under their taskmasters, and all they could see was Egypt. And you know, all they could see was all the bondage and all the destruction and death and all this kind, the misery that laid there. That's all they saw. They never saw anything else. But in all that, God's trying to reach them and tell them, you know what, you've got a land. You've got a promise. You've got to get up and go. But you know what, when they got tired of being in Egypt, now they didn't just sit down there and moan and groan, because God come to Moses and began to speak to tell Moses, he said, I've heard the cry of my people by the reason of their taskmasters. So when they got to the place where they got tired of being down there and tired of going through all the things they've been through, then they began to cry out to God because they realized, you know what, I've got a promise greater than this. This is not my place to be. This ain't what God promised me. God promised me something greater than this, and that's what I want. I don't have to be a slave. Amen. I might be a slave today, but there's a day coming I don't have to be a slave. Amen. Right. Amen. And so when they come to that place, when they begin to cry out, then God sent the deliverer to them. And guess what? They sent a deliverer. God sent a deliverer to them that had problems. You know, because everybody's like, well, you know, everybody wants somebody that's you know, everything's so right and so perfect and so pure. Well, you know what? You're not going to find a human like that. You know, God's going to work through human frailty. And guess what? If we look at everybody, everybody's got faults. Everybody's got failures. Everybody's got problems. But you know what? When you realize that it's not the flesh that you're looking at. God don't want us looking at flesh. We're not leaning on flesh. But you know what? It's God has come inside of flesh, and that's what we're looking at. God is inside of flesh. God is tabernacled in flesh, and that's what he's using to reach the people. That's what he's using to speak. That's what he's using to minister through. And so, you know, when we look at people, everybody wants to know what kind of ministry. Well, everybody looks, well, you know, it's just the preachers or you know, no, it's not. Everybody has a ministry. If you're part of the body of Christ, and you know what? Because you have a part to play in the body. You're part of the ministry. And everybody, you know, because, you know, I don't know what to do. You know what? You are to be an example to the world. There's, you know, Brother Bram said, what can you do? He said, well, what are the two things to get closer to God? He said, read your Bible and pray. Right. Well, you know what? If you want to be a benefit to people, if you want to minister to somebody, then pray. Right. And if you got nobody else to pray, then you pray twice for me. Right. But you know what? If you can pray, then you know what? God can work. You know what? You know it doesn't take a lot of intelligence. You know, because you know what? The scripture tells us that, you know, when we don't know what to pray, the scripture says that the Spirit will speak with groanings that cannot be uttered. So you know what? How many times have you begun to pray and you don't even know what to pray, and all of a sudden the words become to come through your mouth, and sometimes you will be amazed at what you're praying. And you begin to pray over a situation, and you're saying words over a situation, and you don't even know. You know, it's like, well, why was I praying that? And somebody comes back and says, you spoke exactly what needed to be said. Why? Because it's not you speaking. But when we can yield to the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can speak through us. Because He knows what needs to be said.
Amen.
You know, I tell everybody, the worst mistake I ever made, or one of the worst mistakes I ever made in my life that I still think about. I still, to this day, it bothers me. Brother Harold Hildebrandt came and he preached in Ruth, North Carolina all week. And he come preach Sunday here. And he was sitting right over here, and we were standing right beside him. And his voice was gone that Sunday morning. He could just barely whisper. And the Lord kept telling me to lay my hands on him. And he kept telling me, you need to get just, and it's like, get the brothers to pray. Y'all just need to pray over him. His voice is gone. And it was so strong. I fought that. And it's like, well, why? Because, you know, we sometimes don't think we're worthy enough. We don't think we ought to be doing that. Well, if the Lord's going to speak, why didn't the Lord speak to Brother Dale to do that? Because you know what? Sometimes God's going to speak to you to see what you will do.
Right.
Because everybody thinks, well, you know what? It's got to be Brother Dale or Brother Wade or Brother Bob, because if it's not one of them or Brother Terrence, you know, we can't wait on somebody else to do it. But you know, I got a quote in here I want to read later. You know, when Brother Ram's talking about having divine healing and taking place, you know, he said, you know, everybody's waiting on the evangelist to come. He said, you know, it doesn't take the evangelist's prayer.
Right.
It's anybody's prayer. But you know, everybody's waiting on. I never did pray for Brother Hildebrandt when he was standing here. And you know, that's bothered me for years. And you know, when he come out to preach the second service, you know, he was even worse than he was that morning. He just barely whispered. It just felt like this great weight was sitting on me. I was under such condemnation. And it's like, you know what? If that ever happens to me again, I'm not doing this again. I may be wrong, but you know, if I feel led to do something, I may be out of line. But you know, I would much rather do something, because Brother Brandon said, you know, if you have the desire to do something, or you have the call to do something, he said, check it by the Word. Well, then you know what? Then it's our responsibility as a body. Not well, it's me. You know, I'm not like everybody else. See, we get, and it's good to be humble, but sometimes people try to get so humble that we get out of our position. We get out of our place. That's not where God wants us to be.
Right.
Yeah, we can be, we're least in the body. We say, well, I'm the least in the kingdom, as Paul said. But you know what? That doesn't mean that God can't speak through us and use us. If we get to the place that we get so humble that we're useless,
right.
That God's not going to speak, no. We shouldn't think higher than we are, but we shouldn't get to the place where God's not. God can't use me, because you know that's not part of the body. That's not benefit to anybody. But you know, when I got to that place, you know, I thought, you know, Lord, if something comes to me, I never get away. I just have to. And after Brother Danny Fountain had his accident, I was sitting back here, and the Lord began to, I prayed for Brother Danny. I think he was sitting over here in a chair. And I called all the brothers and said, we got to pray for Brother Daniel. I don't know why. But we just all got together over here and prayed over him. And you know, anytime the Lord just deals with me in a way like that, you know, it's like, you know, we don't want to speak to people or we see people coming down the street or certain situations. You know, if the Lord begins to deal with me, he's like, Lord, you know, either stop me because I just feel so impressed to do stuff. But he said, those that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. But sometimes we don't want to, we get to the place that we, you know, we feel like that we're so unworthy that we can't be used of God, that God can't speak to me to do, you know, it's like, well, you know, somebody else said, no. Sometimes God uses us. God's going to speak to you to speak to somebody. It's not always the preachers. But you know, when God called Moses to go down there and be a deliverer, we know that, you know, Moses, he had his faults and he had his failures. Here's a man that was the second highest man there in all of Egypt. This great leader in Egypt. But you know, God told him, said, that's not your position. You know, through his mom told him, said, listen, you're not one of them. That's not who you are. You're a deliverer. You're a Hebrew. God didn't call you to sit on the throne in Egypt. Brother Brown said that, you know, it took all those years of him having all of that education and all of that learning, all of that he went through in Egypt, had 40 years of all that great knowledge and all that beat in, you know, taught into him, learned all that stuff, and then it took 40 years to get it out of him. And why? Because those 40 years that he was there to see and understand how all that was, the great, great nation, the great empire of Egypt, and had everything at his fingertips. And then the next thing you know, he's a nobody in the desert watching over sheep. Nobody knew he was there and nobody cared. But you know, that's where God wanted him. Why? Because it molded Moses into who he was. And when he got to the place where God wanted him to be after all that he had been through and all things that he had seen and all that he had suffered, then guess what? God had a supernatural event for him. Met him in a burning bush and began to speak to him. Said, you know what you were called to be? You're called to be a deliverer. That's your job. That's what your calling is. And now it's time for you to go forth. And in the midst of him calling him and telling Moses, this is what God's called you to this. And he's like, oh, I can't do this. I can't speak. I don't have it. You know, I'm so unworthy. It can't be me. And what God do? God began to tell him, listen, you are the one that's going to deliver these people, and I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to give you two signs to show the people that you're going to be the one. And you're not going alone, but you're going to have a mouthpiece. You're going to have a prophet go with you, and that's your brother. You're going down there, but you know, you're going to be the one that's going to stand before Pharaoh and tell him that the days of my people being in bondage are over with. You're going to go in front of him and tell him, let my people go. And he's like, oh, no, I'm not going to let them go. But you know, all the things that Moses went through, you know, God was with him and God led him all the way through all of that. And God was leading him and dealing with him the whole time. And told him, said, listen, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart and he's not going to let y'all go. But you know what? You're still going to go down there and tell him, let my people go. But don't worry, because you know what? In the end, it's going to happen. Now here he has to go down there in the greatest nation in the world, in the greatest empire of all the whole world, and he's got to go down there after living 40 years on the backside of the desert dealing with sheep. He didn't look like nobody wanted to see. But you know what? It wasn't the position that he was in. It was the God that he had. It's the God that he served. His God made a way for him. And he went before Pharaoh and told him, he said, look, you're going to let my people go. But we don't understand that when all that took place and God put him in the right position to be there, why? Because it was going to tear down all of Egypt. Because he said, well, guess what? You don't want to let them go? So that's fine. Guess what? We got a way to take care of this. We've got these plagues. And each one of these plagues are going to attack each one of your gods, your deities. We're going to tear them all down. And everything that went forth, every time that Moses was doing something, he was showing that God was the one in control. He was the one that was leading all this, not anything that the Pharaoh had or anything that Egypt had. And it began to show the people that were there. He began to show the children of Israel that, you know what, God had a way for them. That God, after you seeing all of that and living all of that, that Egypt had and all the gods and everything, then you know what? Then all of a sudden, when Moses come and said, you know what, that's fine. He said, we're just going to turn all the waters to blood. The mighty Nile River and all these things, and began to see how each one of the flies and the fleas and the frogs and the darkness, all these things that took place, each one of those things that came to them was showing that their gods didn't have any control over that. Right. But Moses began to tell the people, look, this is the same God that's leading you out. Look at this miracle that's taken place. Look what took place here. Well, look what takes place here. And all the way as it goes along, God doing the work before them, showing them, and he's the one that's going to lead you out. Right. And it just kept taking place and kept taking place. But you know, then finally when they got to the place, then God told them that now it's the time after the death of the firstborn. Now it's time to go. Get ready. When they began to see all these things, it's like, yeah, I can see now's the time to get ready and to go. We got to follow the word of Moses. We got to get our shoes on. We got to get our staff. We got to get ready. Now's the time to get out. Right. And when they got out to leave, and they began to eat the lamb and take the blood and put it on the doorposts and all those things and get ready to go. After they'd seen all those miracles take place and God had brought them that far and brought them into a place to get out, and they seen all that, all the miracles that had taken place, and then they began to walk out. It's a mind-blowing situation, because before that, they were down there and they saw no way. It was totally hopeless. There was absolutely nothing that was going to take them out of that. Why? Because they were so had that all ingrained in them, all about Egypt. How wonderful, how great and mighty Egypt was. Until God come began to deal with them and show them what he had done. They went from absolutely doing nothing, moving in no direction, till God began to speak to them. And you know what? They got ready to walk out. God began to do something that they would, you know what, I'm ready to go. I'm eating this lamb, and I'm getting out of here. And 2.5 million people began to get up and walk out. And you know, it's an miracle. When you think about it, that's what a mind-blowing miracle that was, that they got together and left. If you've been under such bondage for so long, and you never had anything to yourself, but now there's a way made, and you're actually leaving the bondage. You're actually walking out. I mean, what a mind-blowing experience to realize, you know, after I've lived in this, my dad's been in this bondage, my grandparents been in this bondage, and now I'm walking out. After 400 years of my ancestors being down here, I'm leaving. And I'm walking out to see what miracles took place for me to have that happen to me. And when that happened and I began to walk out, then when Pharaoh's army began to chase them, then all of a sudden they were paralyzed with fear. Right. They were back into bondage again because now, oh no, here they come. Why? Because God wanted them to realize, you know what, I've defeated them all the way up till now. They've been defeated every single time. And there's Moses crying to God. But what did he want them to see? There's another great victory ahead of you.
Right.
Here it is. Now you're coming up. He said, this army, this enemy that you see, your oppression, all of this that you've been through all the way up till now. He said, this army that you see, he said, you'll never see them again. But you know what? They had to get to the place where God could lead them to the place that they got. When they got to the place where God wanted them to get to, then when Moses is down there crying, he said, why are you crying to me, Moses? He said, speak the word and go forward. Right. Then he gave Moses the words to speak, and the Red Sea opened. He knew which way to go because God was leading him. It wasn't Moses' plan. It wasn't Moses' intelligence. It was the plan of God. God was leading him. And he began to speak. The waters opened. And here they are walking on dry ground. Here they are walking across on dry, 2.5 million people. When you stood out there every single day, then you see this mighty river that you probably couldn't see all the way across it. This great sea, all this water everywhere. No telling how deep it was. When you come to this, then you see it all of a sudden the waters part, and you see these giant walls of water on each side of you. And I'm sure it wasn't no 36-inch wide path that they were walking. So here it is. This great expanse has opened up in front of them. And it's dry all the way across. This supernatural is happening in front of them. And here they are walking all this way in front on this dry ground. Supernatural happening everywhere. They're seeing this great happening. Here they are going out. And they're worried about the army that's coming behind them. But the word has already told them, listen, don't you worry about him coming behind you. That's not a problem. He said, because you'll never see them anymore after today.
Right.
Why? Because God called the children of Israel to go one way. And the Egyptian army wasn't designed to go that way. God didn't call them to go that way.
Right.
But they started to try to go the exact same way. And when they got to the right place, then guess what? God pulled his hands back, the waters come back and washed them all away and drowned them. And here they are all destroyed. And then all of a sudden, you know, now they're over there tambourines and clapping and everybody's so happy. But you know what? All that rejoicing, they come all that way and their rejoicing was short-lived. Because the next time they had a bump in the road, next time they had a little bit of problems, every little discomfort that they had, they stopped and had to complain. Well, I don't like this and I don't like that. We don't have any water. And you're out here trying to kill us. When the whole time God's trying to tell them, listen, I got you a place. And I'm trying to take you there. And you know what? All the supernatural has happened all the way in front of you to show you that I'm right here leading you. But they've missed the supernatural. And don't believe that God is actually trying to move them and lead them to the place. But God was faithful all the way in everywhere that he went, leading them and showing that he was in charge, that he was leading them. But they didn't have faith to believe. After all that they had seen, after all that they had heard, as they were leading, they still complaining. Still had, you know, if we could just go back. Who wants to go back? No, there's something greater. When you got 2.5 million people marching along and all of a sudden you got all, you know, all of these that are complaining and you only got two that come out of all of that. Two that come out of all of that. And you know what? They had their mind set on what God had promised them. Here was 2.5 million people coming out seeing the supernatural. God lead them all the way. And when they murmured and complained, you know what? God forgave them and said, come on, let's go. Give them what they had need of. Fed them and took care of them. Never got sick, never got old, never had problems. God taking care of them the whole way. But they never could get to the place to realize, you know, God's leading me and I have confidence in that. You know, I'm going into that land. When they got to Kadesh Barnea and told them it's time to go, you know, they couldn't find, they, even after when he brought the evidence back and showed them what was in the land, when the spies gave the report and told them, listen, this is exactly the way it is in the land, it's just like the way he said it was. And you got 10 people that have walked through that land. 10 spies, those 10 witnesses, when they went through that land and said, hey, it's exactly what he said. But you know what? We are not strong enough to take them. I know that God was the one that brought us out of Egypt when we were in bondage and all, we never had anything and all the problems that we had down there, and when we walked up there to the Red Sea and it parted and you know, and all the things, and we've seen the water come out of the rock and all these things that we've seen and witnessed. But you know what? We're not able. Well, you know what? It wasn't them that got that far. It wasn't God. It was God that had led them that far, and everything that they had, God was the one that brought them that far. It wasn't them.
Right.
Amen. But you know, here are the children of Israel when they get there. But there was two said, hey, when they begin to cry, oh, we can't, we're so small, you know, and we look like grasshoppers in their sight. It's so bad. And here's Joshua and Caleb trying to steal the people, trying to get the hysteria down so they can tell them, say, listen, this is what God said. God brought us this far, and he's going to carry us all the way. And that whatever you have need of, God will meet your need because God gave it to us. Now, the only thing that we got to do is go forward. That's all we got to do. We got to go forward and walk in it. Because you know what? The battle's not mine, it's his. Why? Because he's the one that promised it to us. But you know what? They couldn't accept what God had done for them. But you got to walk forward. You got to take what God said and move forward. Now this is from the message, The True Vine and False Vine. And Brother Branham is speaking to a lady in the prayer line, and he said, what do you think, sister? He said, do you believe with all your heart? He said, all right, if you believe, it's for you. He said, God honors believers. Isn't that right? But to him that believeth, if I didn't say one thing to you and laid hands on you, do you believe you'd be healed anyhow? Don't you? See, I like that kind of faith. Have faith in God. And we'll go to the next quote there. And so here's Brother Brown. He's speaking of people. This is from the Secondhand Rope. And, you know, he's speaking of people. And, you know, they're going to, a, you know, when Brother Brown talks about them going to a witch, because they had faith in her that when they went to her, that they could get healed. And he says, but the poor people that's approaching, coming, they're thinking they're approaching God, and God has to honor faith. I don't care where it's at. And they approach God through the witch. They think they're coming to God coming through there. And God's got to honor that faith. So that's what God honors, is their faith, because they believe they're approaching God through that situation. And that's what God was looking for. He was looking for them to have faith, because he brought them all that way. He showed them all the evidence, and he brought them all that way and showing them where they were at. But they had to have faith in what God said. They had to have faith to believe what God had said. And it come to, and showed it to them. And if we could just put our faith in it and understand that we could overcome if we have faith in what God said.
That's right.
And as you know, as the scripture we were reading, you know, all the things that the children of Israel had been through and all the things that they had seen. Because you know what? The scripture says that it was not mixed with faith. All the word that they had heard was not mixed with faith. And this is from the message, Desperations. And Brother Bram's talking about being overseas and the meetings and everything. And he says, and we got to get the seasons where it's not raining and pouring down rain. And those people sitting out there, I've seen people sit out there with their hair just stringing down, fine-dressed people, and just sit in that rain all day. Just sit there, and it's just pouring and thundering and lightning and storms blow, and them just weaving back and forth against one another like that, sitting right there. Wait till you come to pray for them. See? Now, you know God honors faith like that. He does. And he says, you've got to do something for God to honor. You see, you show him. The people that's got everything handed to them so easy, they don't do nothing for it, you see. You got to. The gift is free, that is true, but you've got to. It seems like that, you know, like they say, if you was born with a silver spoon, you've heard that you don't appreciate, but when you have to work for it, you appreciate the value of it. You know, and Brother Branham was talking about one time he was talking about being over in the overseas and the different places, and he began to talk about being in the tabernacle, and he said, you know, it's so hot in here, and you know, we're so crowded and all this, and he said, but you know, we shouldn't complain about what we have here. And he said, you know, when you look to see what people have overseas, and he talks about, you know, they go out there early in the morning, and they stay out there all day. And he said, you know, they lean against each other. And he said, you know, people that are sick and the afflicted, and he said, they stack them up just trying to hear one word from God. And then here they are all leaned up against each other, people that are dying, and they're stacking them up, and all of those situations just to hear one word. Just to hear one word from God. Desiring, because they know here's the words of life. That's all it takes is just this one word. And he talks about that time where he was overseas somewhere and you know had the storm come up and you know he's sitting in his room and he was talking about the room and he was talking about he said the trees looked like they were falling over and you know it's so windy and rainy and stormy and thundering and lightning and he thought, well, you know, he said, ain't nobody gonna be down there in all that storm. Nobody gonna be down there. And he's like, well, I might as well just, you know, not get ready. And he said, next thing you know, the car backs up. There's a knock at the door, whatever. And that man tells him, said, come on, time to go. And he's like, do what? He said, there's people down there in that storm. And that man told him, he said, you can't get within blocks of that place. He said, in all that storm? He said, yeah. He said, they want to hear from God. They want to hear a word from God and go through all that storm and everything and not realize, you know, and we think we have it so good. And we've had so many things happen and been so blessed of all the things that's happened that's come our way that God has done for us. And yet, we don't honor that. We don't respect that. We don't honor what God has done. You know, because if you're sick, you know, the devil wants to give you a reason not to do anything. And you know, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. But you know, it just lays on me sometimes. You know, because it's good to have somebody come by and say and speak to you in love and say, listen, don't give up. Right. Sometimes we're just like them folks down in Egypt. That's all we've seen. Yeah. We've seen the same situation over and over and over. We've seen our loved ones in the same condition and ain't got any better. We've seen our children out in the world and ain't got any better. And sometimes it's gotten worse and worse and worse. I'm sick. I got whatever. And you know, every time I go to the doctor, it just gets worse and worse and worse. I ain't any better. Just like that woman that had the issue of blood. Spent all she had. She went to all kinds of doctors, kept going. You know what? She kept getting worse. She didn't get any better. Done all she could, spent all she had. Didn't do her one bit of good. But you know, somewhere along the way, she got in her mind, she said that he's the healer. And no doubt she had seen Jesus heal people. And no doubt she might even known people that God healed. And seen what God could do. And seen what God had done. And you know what? She didn't have to read in the scripture and wonder, well, I wonder if I should. There was something that spoke to her, that rose up inside of her. Where does the scripture say, if you touch his garment, you get healed? But somewhere along the way, there was something struck her that she said, if I can just touch but the hem of his garment, she said, why? Because he's got the healing power. I don't have to have him say anything over me. I don't have to have him lay his hand on me. All I got to do is just touch the hem of his garment and I can be made whole.
Right. Amen.
And she went into that crowd. And maybe that was the closest she ever got to Jesus. You know what? She didn't run to the end of the town and hide and say, well, maybe Jesus will come this way and I'll wait on him. She didn't wait on Jesus to come past her way. She knew where he was at, and she was fighting her way through the crowd. She was pressing her way in, and she fought all the way to Jesus. When everybody's bumping shoulder to shoulder, she might have had to crawl. It didn't stop her. She knew where she was going. She had a vision. She had a goal. She had a plan. And she didn't stop till she got there.
Right. Amen.
And just barely touching just a little bit of his garment that he never felt humanly. But there was something supernatural that took because she had faith to believe and to act on that.
Right.
And it was like, who touched me? Why? Because she had faith in God, and because she had faith in who he was and what he could do. That he honored that faith and God healed her.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of faith that it takes. It just takes just the simple, but you've got to act on it.
Right.
But you know, as the children of Israel, you know, when they went all those years and went to Kadesh Barnea and God began to deal with them and tell them, listen, you can cross over. You can cross over into this land. You're more than conquerors to take this land. It belongs to you. It's always belonged to you. But the question is, are you going to take it? And when they went there, then when they wouldn't accept what God had done for them, what God had made a way already for them, then when they went all that way, then he said, listen, he said, your carcasses will rot in the wilderness. But then you know what? After God tells them you can't go in, then they won't arise. Oh, hey, we're going to take it now. Your time's up. You're done. God's judgment already fell on them. You can't go any further. You're done. But he said, your children, who you thought would be a prey to them, said they're going to raise up. And they're going in and take that land. But you know what? It never dimmed Joshua's vision. It never dimmed Caleb's vision. The whole time they were there. You know, you can just see old Caleb out there knowing that land laid there for 40 years, walking around with a bunch of grumbling, complaining, whiny people. He walked around with them same old people over and over and had to listen to the same old complaints. But I guarantee you, old Caleb was out somewhere, and you know what? He had a sword somewhere in his hand, and you know what he was doing? He sat there, and I bet he was doing this the whole time, sharpening that sword, checking that, making sure I got a good edge on it. I don't know when I'm going, but I'm going. I got a good edge on that sword. Well, it's been 1, 2, 3, 10 years, 15. Might have started getting gray-headed, might have started losing his hair. Might have started being a little humped over. But you know what? Didn't stop him. Didn't hinder him. Every single day, you know what? When he 85 years old, he stood there and said, I'm just as good as the day I walked through that land. I'm a witness. I've been in the land because our father, Abraham, walked in this land. He walked in this land. And Caleb, he didn't see the giants. He didn't see all the hindrances. He saw the promise of God. I'm walking in the land that our forefathers walked in. I'm walking in what God promised me. And I can just see, oh, it's going to be great when we get over here. It's great. Ain't nothing like it. And you know what? In all those years that he went to, he wasn't hindered by any of that. He was happy. 40 years of having to put up with all them crazy people over there. No doubt he went out there sometimes, probably see a few of them die, a few thousand of them die here or there. Well, that's a few more we don't have to deal with because we're getting closer. We're getting closer to going over. I'm getting closer to going over. I'm getting better. I ain't getting older. I ain't getting worse. I ain't getting more problems. No, I'm getting ready to go over. Amen. I got what I come for. I got it. It's been revealed to me, and I am not stopping until I get there. And brothers and sisters, it's the same way. Whatever you have need of, it's the same thing. Because if God has started you on a journey, Richard and I was talking about that the other day. How in the world did we end up in Lula, Georgia? How in the world did you go from North Carolina to Tennessee all the way to Lula, Georgia? You know, you can't write this. I mean, you know, if you wrote fiction, people wouldn't believe this probably. But you know what? It's a supernatural event. Sometimes we don't think of it that way. But you know what? It's the leading of the Lord that's led us all this way.
And God's trying to encourage us to realize who we are. God's brought us this far. Guess what? He ain't done with us. We're going all the way. There's so many people that's been sick and afflicted and carried all these things. But you know what? It just stirs something inside of me. Because you know what? It's not just them that has to pray. It's our job to pray for them. We're a body. And you know, if we're a body, and I'm not talking about just this building, and I'm just not talking about the people that come to this congregation. I'm talking about the body of believers worldwide.
Amen.
Because you know what? God thinks just as much of the people in China as he does us. And whether they have anything in Nepal or India, you know what? They're the children of God just like we are.
Right.
Amen. And you know what? Then we pray for them and they pray for us. Then you know what? When somebody gets sick, we shouldn't ever get to the place where, you know, we think that, you know, somebody comes up here for prayer. Well, I don't know if the Lord's going to do it or not. No, we should. When you come up here for prayer, if you speak the word,
right.
Then you know what? Then you, when you speak the word, then you know what? Then you believe that God's going to do it. Why? Because God said, if you would believe and speak,
right.
If you say to this mountain, if you confess, well, I'm confessing what he said, and he's the one that's got to back it up, not me. I don't have to do anything but believe. And that's the reason he said God honors believers. He's got to honor their faith. Why? Because they got their faith and that's what they believe.
Right.
And they walk in it.
Amen.
Then you know what? Then I can claim my children. I can claim my family. Why? Because it's the promise of God to me. Then you know what? I've got to have faith. No matter what comes, what it looks like, no matter how many years, whatever comes and goes, that doesn't matter. God made the promise.
Yes.
Amen. And whether you get sick and it just continues to get worse or whatever, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Amen. I tell everybody all the time that I think about when Brother Dick had cancer. And Brother Dick had that, you know, I had that prostate cancer. You know, I just got so burdened one time. And I was riding in the truck, and I know y'all have heard it many times, but I was just riding in the truck that day. And I'll never forget when I was riding in that truck, and I began to pray over Brother Dick and the situation. It's just like I couldn't get away from it. And I'll never forget the day I was riding in the truck, and the Lord came in there, and he spoke to me, and he said Lazarus was dead 4 days. And he said, Brother Dick's not as far as Lazarus was.
Right.
And when I got that revelation, then you know what? And then it just changed the whole thing. Because you know what? I began to praise God for what he had done.
Amen. That's right.
Why? Because it's a finished work. It's not something, because you know, that's what we gotta have confidence in. That's what we gotta have faith in. It's a finished work of Calvary. That's the reason many times when I pray, that's why I thank God. Why? Because when I pray over somebody and I say, you know, because by his stripes we are healed. And you know what? It's a finished work of Calvary. Then if you have a need, then you know it's already finished before you ask. Then you don't have to struggle and plead over it. Why? Because it's already finished. Then all you got to do is claim your God-given rights. Then we don't have to back up from the devil.
Right.
The devil likes to give you a hard time, and people, you know, well, I don't know. No. Sometimes it's time for us to raise up like Shamgar and go get what belongs to us,
right.
And run the devil off.
That's, right. Yeah.
That's what God wants us to do.
Right.
And if you have whatever you have need of, say, well, Lord, I don't understand. It's like, well, Lord, I've read these books and I've read this and I don't understand this and I don't understand that. Then you know what? You just put it before God and see if God don't come on the scene and show you what the Scripture says. Because you know what? Brother Brown said that he's no respecter of persons. He don't respect one person over another, because you know what? If you desire these things and you put yourself before God and you seek God for these things, then see if he don't open it up to you. If he don't reveal to you what you're looking for. Because how many times can you say things in your life that you've seen God come on the scene and do supernatural things, and you don't know how it happened? It only was God. Years ago, I was working in a manufacturing plant. And we were using robots to weld all these parts. And we had jigs that held everything. And we had these racks, and they were probably near as tall as this ceiling. And they were racks were probably covered half of this room right here. And there was just racks, all these jigs in there. We were looking for one jig, so we'd get done, so we'd go home. And everybody's out there looking for that one jig, and they can't find it. And I didn't even know what I was looking for. They just gave me a part number and said, go look for it. And they'd already been out there looking, and everybody scoured all of them. People had been there for years and knew what they were looking for. I didn't know what I was looking for, but I had a number. Did I tell you I didn't know what I was looking for? And I sat there, and all these people all over the place looking, trying to find that, even looking at other places that wasn't even in the racks, trying to find that one jig. And I stood away, and I was looking back over all those jigs, and I was standing there, and I began to pray. And I said, Lord, you know where that is. I don't. And just as sure as I'm standing right here, the Lord showed me and told me what direction to go. I walked right up, climbed up on the top, and right in the middle, that top of that rack was sitting right there, and people had already looked for it and didn't see it. Right. And I reached up there, and I picked it up, and the guy came over, and I handed it to him and said, that's what we're looking for. Why? Because they that put their trust in him, because if you are a son of God, then you're led by the Spirit of God. Right. Then God can lead you. When I went to Brother James Tidwell's church many years ago, the old truck that Richard has behind his house, Richard and I and Daddy worked on that thing. Well, that thing never would work. We had ignition problems, Brother Donnie. That thing wouldn't work. We done everything, rewired it. We bought new parts. We done everything. And it's like, I don't know. There was a devil in that truck, and we couldn't get him out. That thing was the most aggravating thing that day. I was preaching at Brother James Hidwell's church that night, and Brother Michael, his son, come pick me up and bring me to church. Because I didn't have a way. So he come and got me. And I was riding in the truck to church, and nothing. And that's all I think about, that truck. It's like, oh, aggravating thing. That night I got to preaching. I was preaching on faith. We have not because we ask not. We get our minds on our problems and not have our minds on God. And I'll never forget. I was preaching behind the pulpit that night. And I said, I got faith to believe. I can go home, put the key in that truck, it'll crank. When Brother Michael dropped me off, I went behind the house and cranked that truck. And Richard, what would you do? I said, I put the key in and cranked. Right. Why? Because God had. Why? Because you've got faith. God knows that God's a mechanic. Amen. Sometimes he's the best mechanic you'll ever have.
That's right.
Amen. But it's just simple childlike faith. If we just trust God and walk by faith. No matter what the circumstances looks like. And you know what? It's God's good pleasure to do that for you. Can you imagine that the God of all creation desires to give it to you more than you want it? Can you imagine? And sometimes we get in our minds whether we're worthy enough or not. And God tries to tell us it's ours. I just want to apologize and say, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. When you've done so much for me, and I don't have confidence in what you've told me. Lord, forgive me for that. Because, you know, in the morning, you know, we don't know what kind of problems we're going to have, but you know what? He's going to meet at your every need. It may not come the way you want it to, but I guarantee you he'll meet your every need. And I pray that whatever you ask for tonight, let's all stand. Whatever you ask for tonight, have the musicians come. Whatever you ask for tonight, I believe the Lord will give it to you.
Right.
You don't have to ask and pray and grovel. I was talking to somebody, Brother Mark was talking the other day, and Brother Mark was telling me, he said, I love when you was preaching on a court case, and you were talking about how when you get to the place and you know what your position in the law is, when you go in before a court, that you know the law. When you petition the court, you're not having to grovel in front of the judge. All you got to do is say, the law says this, and here's where I've met the requirements of the law. Right. And whatever the situation is, I own this. This belongs to me. And the devil's a squatter, and he's on my property. Right. And the law says that I can kick him off. Now, when I go before the judge, that's all I got to do. I show the judge, this is the rules. This is where I've met all the requirements. Now it's for the judge to act and enforce the law. And that's the way it is with God. He said, if you've met the same requirements as somebody, if he's already healed one person, you meet the same requirements, he's got to heal you. If he said, if he would do this for you, if it's in the word, is that right? I love it when Richard said, I didn't know Brother Branham said those virtues were a requirement. Well, you know what? If they're a requirement, if God requires them, then guess what? God has made a way for you to receive them. Then you know what? I don't have to grovel over that, because you know what? God said they're mine. Right. If I want them, if I'm a child of God, then you know what? That's required. Then you know what? God's made a way for me to receive them. Then that's all it takes. Right. Whatever God has for us, then we can receive it. Whatever we have need of. And just say, thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to receive what belongs to me. And just believe that. And you know that if whatever you have need of, then I want to believe with you. Not just you. Because you know what? Nobody's, you know, lots of times sometimes you'll feel like you're all by yourself. But you know what? You got so many around you that believe with you. And whatever you have need of, then we're going to believe for the same thing that you believe for. Whether you have healing, a financial situation, a marital situation, whatever it is, your children, whatever it is, if you believe, then you know what? We're going to believe with you. Because if it's God's word for you to have it, for you to be blessed, then guess what? We're going to believe the same thing. Because you know what? We live so far below our privileges. What God has privileged us to have. But I want to be a faithful witness to what God has given us. I want to be an heir, and I want to be faithful to what God has done for us. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Brother Joe.
Sing that chorus, every promise in the book is mine.
Amen.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter.
You tonight. Brother Ryan, give me a message here. So please remember that we have the prayer meeting Saturday. Amen. Be here at 7. Is that right? Is it 7 o'clock?
Yes.
Yeah, 7. Amen. Just remember that. And sign up sheet downstairs for the Valentine's banquet. And so just want to remember that. And I don't know when all the particulars about all that is, but I know we've if you're going to invite somebody, you need to get their name on the list and all that. So, how many appreciate the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Amen. So, amen. So, before we go, we'll just all bow our heads and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful, Lord. We love you. Lord, we just want to say we appreciate you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Lord, that we've heard the word. Lord, all is well. It is well within my soul. Lord, we've heard that word. And Lord, we've heard your word tonight, and we just claim what belongs to us. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we just can't put into words what it means to us. Lord, we're not the tail, but we're the head. Lord, we're so blessed. Lord, you've given us everything. And Lord, we just want to claim what belongs to us. Lord, we want to be faithful to what you've given us. Lord, we want to fight the good fight of faith. Lord, just continue on. Lord, whatever comes our way, whatever comes against our family, Lord, our brothers and sisters here, Lord, we would just want to draw closer together, Lord, and be one and defeat the devil in all of his tactics, Lord. Whichever way he comes, Lord, we know he's a defeated foe. Lord, we're not going to back up for anything.
And Lord, we just appreciate all this that you've given us, Lord. Lord, that we have received our inheritance. And Father, tonight we pray for those that are, Lord, that are not here, Lord, that are watching in. Lord, we know that it's a finished work of Calvary. And Lord, we pray for over each one, each need. Lord, whatever it may be, physical, whatever it may be, Lord, we know that it is a finished work. Lord, that we pray healing and deliverance over those situations, Lord. Lord, you minister in a special way to each one. And Lord, for each one that's here, Lord, we just pray that you be with them. Lord, just watch over us as we travel home. And Lord, let us just come back at the appointed time, Lord, on Saturday, Lord, and come ready to, Lord, just to speak to you and commune with you. And Lord, just give you time to speak to us. Lord, many times we get in a situation, and Father, we just do all the talking. And sometimes we just want to sit and say, Lord, I'm here. You speak to us. And just put all the things of the world aside, all the things of life, and just commune with you. And Lord, you speak to us. Father, if we're wrong in anything, Lord, I want to be right. And Lord, I want you to come and cleanse me. Lord, lead me in the right way. Lord, all the things in our lives, Lord, we've come short. Lord, we fail you. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to you, Lord, and we just believe in that crimson flow, Lord, that we can, Lord, there's a flow that can, a blood that can just clean us all, wash everything white as snow. Lord, that's what we want to be. And so, Lord, we're just going to look to you, Lord. We just want to put everything else aside, Lord, that you can lead us in the right way. Minister to each one in a special way, Lord. And Father, I pray that you just bless the ministry here, Lord. We've been so blessed over the years, Lord. And Lord, I just continue to pray for them, Lord. Lift them up. Our brothers, as they travel, and Brother Bob and Luis will be ministering, Lord, and they're trying to get to Nicaragua, Lord. I know that you've already worked it all out, Lord. You'll have them and watch over them as they travel, Lord, and they'll be a blessing to the people. And Lord, just give them fruit for their labor, Lord. And Lord, we're going to be at home and continue to hold them up, Lord, because we're not able to go, Lord, but we can surely be soldiers and prayer warriors for them, Lord. And so many of the prayer requests, Lord, we remember the Brother Dutch Church and different ones, Lord, that have been sick. And Lord, there's so many that's come to my mind, Lord, that, Lord, you know the situations, you know what they have need of. And we just pray for them and know that it's a finished work. And Lord, we're just going to thank you for it. Now just watch over and keep us. We commit all things to you as we leave. Lord, we just want to say we love you again. And just lead us and guide us, we ask. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. You're dismissed.